Welcome to Keeping Up with the Kick-Ass Canadians. Today's guest is Adria Vassal, who spent nearly 15 years writing the Ecoholic column for Toronto's Now magazine and is currently branching out to try other things. Adria, welcome to the podcast.
Hi, Amanda.
Or I should say, welcome back. It's great to chat with you again.
True.
Well, one of the biggest new things you're taking on right now is teaching critical and opinion writing to Ryerson University journalism students. Can you talk about how that role came up?
Well, it was a friend of mine that spotted a job posting for teaching a different course at Ryerson, and through kind of, you know, a network of conversations, found out that there was another class being taught, or they were looking for kind of a last minute teacher for, on critical and opinion writing. And basically there were so many students that had applied that they needed a second teacher for a second section of the course. And Ryerson had not taught opinion writing for a number of years. And so it's backed by popular demand. And having written the Ecoholic column for so long, and, you know, having kind of shared my opinion on environmental matters and everything green for you know, a decade and a half almost, it was kind of fun to consider the idea of maybe I should try teaching this. And obviously the class isn't entirely dedicated to environmental reporting. It is more broadly about, you know, column writing and opinion writing, critical thinking and journalism. But I do weave sustainability as much as possible into many of my classes, just because it is so central to what I've, you know, been focused on.
Yeah, well, I wanted to ask you how you wanted to continue what you started with Ecoholic from the environmental perspective. So is that sort of the main way you're doing it, or you're also still writing other columns about environmentalism?
I'm still writing. Yeah, absolutely. I recently, it was a week before, I just did a column for Now magazine, a cover story on ride sharing or ride hailing businesses in Toronto, considering some of the kind of social environmental impacts of those. And I'm currently working on a feature for Corporate Knights, Sustainable Business Magazine, on the impacts of China's ban on recycling imports, and the impact of that ban on municipalities across Canada. And so in between the grading that I'm currently doing for my Ryerson students, I'm interviewing, you know, the heads of recycling and waste management at municipalities and provinces across Canada to see how they're being affected. Because at this point, it's a pretty big deal. You know, China has come down with this announcement that as of Jan 1, they're no longer accepting basically most recycling imports of like paper, plastic, etc. from around the world. And it's meaning that municipalities like Halifax are and Calgary, Edmonton, etc. are stockpiling large amounts, like tons and tons and tons of recycling. And now, I mean, some municipalities in the United States are actually deciding that they're stopping recycling altogether. They're no longer going to accept certain plastics. And so it just means a lot more stuff is starting to go to landfill. Some people are burning more recyclables. And a lot of people don't realize that they're continuing to put things in the recycling bins and not knowing that it's not really going anywhere at this point. And so I see this as a really exciting time to just kind of hopefully spark more kind of regulation and movement behind the whole zero waste movement. And so we'll see. This is what I'm writing about still, and I can't stop writing. It's in my blood. So I'm not just teaching writing, but, you know, always going to continue doing some Ecoholic style writing for sure.
Yeah, that sounds fascinating. Well, I mean, especially when you talk about a story as big as the Chinese recycling import ban. What are your thoughts about the role of good, or the importance of good journalism today when we have, you know, social media where anyone can just get out there, there's less accountability, the facts aren't necessarily right? Where do you see the future of journalism going, and what can you say about how much we need it today?
Oh, man. Well, you know, journalism is really under attack, especially south of the border, you know, with all the accusations around fake news and then the actual fake news that actually exists. And, you know, we kind of experienced, you know, it was a different version of this, but, you know, under the Harper government here in Canada, you know, journalists were facing, you know, our own threats. I remember not being able to really speak to anyone in government at the time about environmental issues. And at least now, you know, that's loosened up in Canada. But we need good journalism more than ever. And we need, you know, we need critical thinking journalists. We need, you know, opinionated journalists as well as, you know, the kind of straight news reporter journalists, covering it from all angles. And, you know, we need environmental reporting more than ever. I mean, there's, you know, as we know, the planet is screwed in so many different ways. And, you know, we need people covering this issue. It's really frustrating that media outlets are struggling financially as well in this time, you know, and it's hard for papers across the continent to keep full-time journalists employed. And, you know, that makes me nervous for the future, too, because, you know, if less people are earning full-time wages as journalists, then we have less truth seekers that are trying to dig up, you know, the realities of what's going on. And but luckily, you know, it's nice to be with the next generation of like up and coming journalists, you know, that are excited about, you know, writing about what they're passionate about and kind of helping them find their voices before they launch their careers. And it's exciting to see the enthusiasm they have. That gives me a lot of hope for the future. I just hope that everyone can find jobs and stay gainfully employed, because we do need journalists so badly and need them covering all, you know, all kinds of issues. But, you know, my soft spot is for environmental reporting, of course. I mean, doing the alcoholic thing, it really was, in a way, stepping beyond the typical traditional role of journalists and, in a way, putting on an educator hat, you know, because I was going around speaking to people about, you know, the impacts of our lifestyles and how to green our lifestyles. And, you know, a lot of journalists aren't necessarily out there giving advice to people on how to, you know, shift their way of living. And so I feel like I had kind of a bit of an educator hat on, even when I was doing the alcoholic thing only, and, you know, just a part of life that I think I enjoy.
Well, I'm glad you're adding your voice to this, because you have a lot of good tips and advice, and people need to know not just what's happening, but what they can do to improve things. Otherwise, you sort of get lost and feel helpless. So thank you so much for doing that.
Thank you so much. Oh, and one more thing. You can follow me at Ecoholic Nation on Facebook as well. And there you will see my latest segment that I did with CBC Marketplace. We did a Facebook Live session on the impacts of textile recycling and what happens when, you know, to our clothing donations, and if people are feeling kind of confused about where to donate these days and what to do with their old textiles, then we do a whole 45-minute section segment on this. So check it out on my Facebook at Ecoholic Nation.
That sounds awesome. Thank you very much.
Thanks. Take care.